On this episode of the Calgary Stampeder podcast, Jock Wilson and I, Dave McIver, talk about the success the Calgary Stampeders have had over the last 16 years, the individual player nominees done by the Calgary Stampeders this week, and of course, the final game of the season against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Welcome to episode 5 of the Calgary Stampeder podcast, brought to you by Valentine Volvo and Volvo Fine Cars Royal Oak. It is the last week of the season for the Calgary Stampeders, and what happened last week? Well, that would be a playoff spot clinched for the 16th straight season. A true mark of excellence in terms of a team that's able to continue to do things and put a winning product on the field. On this episode, we'll get into just that continuity that the Calgary Stampeders have had. Hey, we got individual nominees being announced for each team this week in terms of CFL awards. And we got one more game to go, Jock Wilson, before this season is up. It's a game that doesn't mean much in the standings. It's going to be an interesting game to see who's in the lineup and who is not. But nonetheless, it should be a good game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers just as well. So let's bring in my co-host, Jock Wilson. Jock, fresh off a nice trip down to Texas A&M, back for the game over the weekend. How was the trip down to Texas, Jock?
I tell you what, it was nice to go somewhere where COVID does not exist. You know, for a whole week, we didn't talk about COVID in Texas. No one's talking about COVID in Texas. The only time you had to wear a mask in Texas was when you were at the airport, because that was the only time at the Houston airport that masks were mandatory. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sort of being facetious when I say COVID doesn't exist. You know, they're just not afraid of it like we are here in Canada. And we are afraid of it here in Canada. And shame on us in the media. We're probably part of that because, you know, that's what we have spread fear, as far as I'm concerned, you know, on the COVID front. You know, they respect it. They when you go into stores, they say masks are recommended, but they're not slamming it down your throat, you know, from that standpoint. You know, is it overwhelming their healthcare system? I don't know, because they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
So if it is overwhelming their healthcare system, they're doing a much better job of covering it than we are. You know, I go to a Texas A&M football game, and it's 109,000 people. It's the largest, second largest crowd in Texas A&M history. And did I feel safe? You bet. Was anybody wearing a mask? Nope. No one was wearing a mask. And was everybody in that building vaccinated? I have no idea.
I'm guessing no, Jock.
I am guessing no. You know, the tailgating. We talk about tailgating in Canada. And, you know, tailgating at McMahon Stadium is fun. But the tailgating at a college football game, especially at Texas A&M, it is at a different level. Like, it is mind-boggling when everywhere you go, like, the whole campus has basically tailgate parties set up. You know, every single parking lot is geared for tailgating. As a matter of fact, the tailgate that I went to, one of my daughter's teammates, their parents have an RV, and they were in this great parking lot. The parking lot is set up with sewer, with power, and, you know, with water. So, you know, you could just hook your RV right up in the parking lot and you're like minutes away from the stadium. It is a gong show, for goodness sakes. The atmosphere is brilliant. And, you know, hey, everybody talks about the halftime show, you know, college bands. College bands make the halftime show. It truly is remarkable. And just the atmosphere around it. It was a big game. It was Auburn against Texas A&M. Texas A&M did win the football game, which was fun. But the game was secondary. It was basically just the atmosphere around what they create. Now, at Texas A&M, just to share a story here, they don't have your regular cheerleaders with the female cheer team or anything from that standpoint. They're very well known for their cadet school. And so the cadets they lead the cheer team, so to speak. And the night before the football game, they call it the Midnight Yell. And so basically the five cadets that lead the yell and all the different cheers they do for Texas A&M, they had 40 to 45,000 people at the stadium going through all of the different cheers that you're going to learn at the football game the next day. So I was down field level and, you know, the cadets had just knocked it out of the park. So it was really cool. So you could imagine, you know, midnight, night before the game, there's 40 to 45,000 people at the stadium. And then, you know, game day, there's 109,000 people at the stadium. It was freaking an experience, you know. Check that one off my bucket list for sure.
Now, saying all that, is there anything that you saw down in, you know, U.S. college football and the CFL, two different breeds, but is there anything that the CFL could do? Because you just raved about an atmosphere.
Yeah.
Is there anything, you know, the CFL could learn from the NCAA game that could get that atmosphere into a CFL experience to kind of start attracting that younger fan?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question because, you know, obviously college football down there, you know, the student body is a big part of it. The bands are a big part of it. I will say this, though. You know, the halftime show, they try to create an entertainment package right from the opening kickoff all the way through. The amount of people they move in quickly is fantastic. You know, it's a nice condensed package. I look back at the Calgary Stampeder season, and you've been down to the games. I've been here at the studio. But the one halftime show that people are still raving about is Sailor and Frisbee Rob. And so, you know, I know the word of in the Canadian Football League is, well, you don't want to have a big halftime show because we want people down buying hot dogs and buying beer and all other kind of stuff. Well, I just think that's the wrong philosophy. You got to create the atmosphere. You've got to have good entertainment because it's truly about an entertainment package. And if you can have the entertainment package, I think you can attract, you know, because you have to create an event. And, you know, I get it. You know, if you want to talk about the soccer game last night in Edmonton, that was an event. But it's also Team Canada playing. It's
exactly.
It's not the Edmonton Elks or it's not, you know, Edmonton FC. It is Team Canada. So I will always understand the fact that, you know, when you've got that Team Canada jersey on, you're going to attract a bigger crowd. But they weren't scared of the weather. They just were there for an atmosphere. And I'll say this, Dave, I'm a little concerned for the Canadian Football League because I think soccer has it right. Soccer doesn't take breaks for TV timeouts.
Nope.
It's continuous action all the way through. It's that true entertainment package. And, you know, I've been to a few Cavalry FC games. It's good, solid entertainment all the way through. And whether you're talking the NHL, whether you're talking, you know, the CFL, you know, you're talking all of these breaks, all of these TV timeouts, and that can, you know, lose a little bit for the fan in attendance, you know, at these major sporting events. So soccer is onto something. Could soccer take over this country? Could soccer, you know, move ahead of the Canadian Football League as far as a true entertainment value? Maybe it will. Maybe it will, but we'll see how this one plays out. Hey, we got a couple of, we're going to talk about it more next week, but you know, you got a couple of big playoff games, and I'm hoping Winnipeg Stadium will be sold out for the Western Final. I'm hoping Mosaic Stadium will be sold out, you know, for the Western Semifinal against Calgary. We'll see. If they aren't sold out, then you know, we can talk about maybe there is a little more of a concern here in this country.
Yeah, I think in terms of the halftime show, Jock, if somebody's going to get a beer or a hot dog, they're going to go get a beer and a hot dog. They'll do it during the game.
Right.
Right. If you give them something to watch at halftime that's, you know, consistent and fun, they're still going to go get that beer and hot dog. They're just going to wait 5 minutes to do it. And you're not going to lose anything there because, hey, look, people are hungry and people are thirsty at football games. It doesn't go away whether there's good halftime or not. So
it's true.
Sounds like it was a great experience down in Texas. It was a great experience last week, Jock. The Calgary Stampeders clinching the playoff spot for the 16th consecutive season. It speaks to a lot of things in terms of players, but it really speaks to what John Huffnagle and Dave Dickinson have been able to build over their time with this organization. And, you know, you can speak to it, obviously. This has been something that has been building, you know, since John Huffnagle got here. He gave the reins to Dave Dickinson as in terms of the head coaching position, but he moved up top. And they've just been able to have consistency in this organization, finding players, finding talent, and having success. It's been beautiful to watch.
I thought 2019 was maybe Dave Dickinson's best coaching season because of all the injuries. I'm now thinking 2021 is Dave Dickinson's best coaching season. And I know we're going to break it down, you know, next week a little bit more. But this was a young team. This was a team with no expectations. This was a team that really did poop the bed to start the season. You know, they weren't very good. Yeah, 1-4, 2-5, go down the list. And the way that this team has come together and trending in the right direction. And here we are wrapping up the season. And you know, all of a sudden there's excitement in this city again. And I do give the coaching staff a lot of credit. Obviously, the players get the majority of the credit because they sucked it up and they got their act together, but you know, Dave Dickinson stuck with them, and I do think it's, when we break it all down, you know, everybody's going to say Mike O'Shea is the coach of the year in the Canadian Football League. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to look at Dave Dickinson because what he has done with this organization has been a very, very good job considering it was such a young team heading into the season.
Yeah, I think the line that sticks out to me all year is we need to put the players in the right position to succeed. Yep. And it took some time, yep, but they figured it out as a coaching staff. And like you say, we'll talk about it more next week, but certainly the continuity in this organization has been excellent, and 16 straight seasons. Not a lot of teams can say that. So one heck of a year.
We're spoiled here in Calgary. That's
so
the bottom
spoiled
line.
And then that's probably why we get so frustrated when people get angry that, you know, they're a middle of the road team. It's like, look at all you've had, and then look at the job they've done coming back this year from that start. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, no, and the other thing is people say, well, it's a 9-team league and 6 of the 9 teams make the playoffs. It's an easy league to make the playoffs in. And that's not wrong when you make that summary. But if it was so easy, you'd see other teams doing it too.
Yeah, exactly.
so it is about that consistency. And you know, again, John Huffnagel has really brought that. And you know, stability in ownership, you know, goes that way too. Because I think we all remember the bad old days of, you know, Federic and Fiteri and you know, just gong shows, you know, with what was happening in the city. So, you know, stability ownership goes a long way.
Absolutely, Jock. Well, let's get into the CFL award nominees for the Calgary Stampeders, because they have been announced this morning. And taking a look at the most outstanding player, one of the toughest ones this year for the Calgary Stampeders, with Bo Levi Mitchell going down and just not having that traditional quarterback to select and put in there, it's Kadeem Carey, the outstanding running back for the Calgary Stampeders this year. Jock, a great season for Kadeem.
Well, you know, it's interesting because halfway through the season, I don't think it would have been Kadeem Carey. I think it would have been, most people agreeing, Kamar Jordan. Mm-hmm. KJ was having a great season, and then what happens? Just like what happened in 2018, he gets set with an injury. And it sort of derails his season. So, you know, I guess if you go from start to finish and who has been the most consistent, hey, I don't think Kadeem was great at the start of the season, but he has ended strong like the Calgary Stampeders have. And if you really, you know, look at the Calgary Stampeders running game, you need a good running game when it becomes, you know, late November and early December for 2021 in the playoffs. How can you not go with Kadeem Carey? Leads the CFL with 7 rushing touchdowns. He has 869 yards in scrimmage. Maybe not the best running back in the Canadian Football League this season, because I think William Stanback will probably get that honor. But he could get some. You could call him the best running back in the West, I think.
Oh, 100%. I think he's the best running back in the West. It was his pass catching ability that really stood out for me. 26 catches, 194 yards, but he made some big catches on 2nd and 5, 6, 7 to get first downs when, you know, Bo or Jake had to check it down because there were guys covered past the first down line. And I just thought the way he ran this year physically and the way he caught the ball this year, he was excellent. So Kadeem Carey, the most outstanding player nominee for the Calgary Stampeders, which takes us to the most outstanding defensive player. And I don't think people should be surprised, but I think there will be a little bit of surprise.
I'm surprised. I wouldn't have given it to Mike Rose.
Yeah, so Mike Rose, as Jock just gave it away before I could announce it, he is the most outstanding defensive player for the season. Jock, I thought personally it was going to be Darnell Sankey. I thought the way that Sankey has came in this year and just gelled so well with Jameer Thurman leading the CFL in defensive tackles, I thought for sure he was a shoe-in, but Mike Rose has had a good season. And I guess, you know, we're not going to take anything away from Mike Rose. I just thought the consistency of Darnell Sankey throughout the season was going to put him over the top. But Mike Rose is a good selection.
There were times this season that I thought Dave Dickinson was going to bench Mike Rose.
Because, I thought he was going to cut
him. Yeah, well, because he was taking some bad penalties and the coach was not happy with some of his antics on the field. And there were some bad penalties. But, you know, like the entire Stampeder team, Mike Rose got it, and the bells finally went off, the lights finally went off, and his second half of the season was brilliant. Don't get me wrong, I think Mike Rose is a really good player, and that defensive line has been outstanding for the Stampeders. You know, and to have 7 sacks as an interior defensive lineman, that's pretty damn good. However, how can you not go with Darnell Sankey?
I don't know.
Leading the Canadian Football League in tackles, you know, the game last weekend. He had the 12 tackles. He had the forced fumble. He had a fumble recovery. This guy has been all over the field, and he's got some NFL experience. That's why he's not eligible for the Rookie of the Year. And he's the best tackler, in my opinion, the Calgary Stampeders have. I think Jameer Thurman is right up there as well. But Darnell Sankey would have been my vote. So I think the voters in this case got it wrong. And I should point out, I don't get a vote. You don't get a vote.
We do not get a vote. I don't know if we would have changed the turn the tide on it, Chuck, but we don't get the voting numbers either. So, it was an interesting one. Mike Rose is the most outstanding defensive player nominated by the Calgary Stampeders, which takes us to the most outstanding offensive lineman, mm-hmm. and I don't think anybody should be surprised here. It was Sean McEwen. Basically, everybody else on that line went down at some point mm-hmm. this year. Sean McEwen did not. He started all 13 games. He will start all 14 games after this this game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Knock on wood, something bad doesn't happen in the injury form this week. But he's just been consistent. He's been the leader of that offensive line, and he's been able to work with two different quarterbacks this season so far. So I think a solid choice in Sean McEwen.
What was the one stat I saw, and I should probably back this up before I throw it out there, but like there were eight different line combinations for the Calgary Stampeders this season. 13 games, eight different line combinations. That just shows you how many injuries were out there. But the one constant was the center. And Sean McEwen was a free agent signing, wanted to come back to Calgary.
Yep.
That was a big one for the Calgary Stampeders as well. And I've told you this before, and I've said it on the air before, it's the toughest position for me to judge because who breaks down the offensive line? I don't go home watching film saying, I got to really check out that offensive line tonight because they did a hell of a job. You know, hey, if they can break some holes on the running game, great. If they can protect the quarterback, great. They've done a good job. You know, and from the center, I sort of chuckled because I never saw a ball snapped over the head of Bo Levi Mitchell or Jake Mayer this season. So you've done a very good job because you play a lot of shotgun. Hey, I love Sean McEwen. He's been consistent. He's been good. Definitely deserving of the most outstanding offensive lineman award for the Calgary Stampeders.
I got to imagine the toughest part is having to hit a direct snap to a running back because you got to do a little sideways.
There you go.
You got to do a little sideways, and I didn't see him or Kadeem screw that up either year.
So for sure.
Solid choice for Sean McEwen.
I want to give Zach Williams a little bit of a shout out. I think he really, really improved as the season went along.
He did.
And, you know, I think from that standpoint, Ucombre Williams probably would have won it if he played all 13 games. But Ucombre, you know, obviously just had the injury problems. And Julian Good-Jones, you know, as a rookie, you know, he came together. But again, we just didn't have the consistency on the offensive line. But, you know, Zach Williams, I think, would get an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I think he was excellent this year as well. Probably if there was a most improved player award, he'd be right in the mix for that one, along with a few other guys. But it's a solid choice to get Sean McEwen. I think he should, you know, probably be in the running for the West nominee as well. Just playing every single game with all those things and all those challenges you just talked about, Jock. Most outstanding special teams player. We can just skim. No, we're not going to skim over it. But pretty easy when you are covering this football club on who the most outstanding special teams
player
is.
Although you were telling me if you had a vote, you would have gone with number three.
I would have. Brandon Dozier. But that's because I also would have went with a different most outstanding Canadian. You got to make it easy for yourself, Jock.
Okay.
So Rene Paredes was the most outstanding special teams player. Fifth time Paredes is Calgary's nominee for the League Special Team Award. 2012, 2013, 2015, 2016. Voted most outstanding special teams player in 2013. So kickers do get a little bit of love when it comes to that award. But hey, this guy, what do we call him? Mr. Automatic. Yeah. He missed one big kick this year, and it was at, you know, we always talk about, well, what's Rene's distance? About 52 yards and in. It was a 52-yard field goal. So basically anything inside 45, he was Mr. Automatic and a solid choice for this.
Dave Dickinson, Mark Killam says maybe this was Rene Paredes' best season. And maybe it was, because you look at his success rate, what, just over 91%? That is pretty impressive. And let's not forget, Rene Paredes has not been 100% all season long because he's been battling a little bit of a groin injury. And you're right. If it's a 55-yard kick,
punt.
Yeah, you punt. Exactly punt. Right. But anything inside of 50, this guy is Mr. Automatic. And he was perfect on the converts until that game against the BC Lions, where he finally missed his first convert of the season. But no, how can you not go? And I like your, you know, you look at, because Mark Killam has said, Dave Dickinson has always said all the way through that, you know, they've been very happy with all elements of their special teams.
Yep.
Their coverage, they get downfield quickly, they cover very, very well. Cody Grace has been excellent. Rene Paredes has been excellent. You know, you put Aaron Crawford into the mix as well as your long snapper. I think there's lots of positives, you know, from that perspective. And, you know, who are guys that get downfield quickly and make the tackle? And I think you're onto something with Brandon Dozier. He should get an honorable mention because there's a guy that, you know, played full-time on defense and full-time on special teams. That can take a lot out of you as a player. Brandon Dozier did a very, very good job with it.
We had a couple chuckles when we were sitting here when we weren't able to be at the games on the road this year. And, you know, we'd see a punt or a kickoff and we'd see a tackle. And I'd just look at you, Jock, and I'd go, Dozier?
Yep.
And you go, yep. And then we would just go on about our day. So he does get an honorable mention. But, of course, Rene kicks field goals six times. Twice this season in two separate games. So that gets it done. That takes us to the most outstanding Canadian. And, you know, no surprise here, really. I would have, you know, gone with Rene Paredes. We've already been through all that. Six-year veteran from Toronto, Derek Wiegand gets the nod. And he, teaming up with Mike Rose on that interior of the defensive line this year, Jock, they've been excellent. And I think for both of them to get a nod, it's almost fitting for those two players who have played so well together this year.
No, I think this is one that I probably would have got wrong, and I think the voters got it right. Because, you know, I was looking at Paredes, I was looking at Sean McEwen. You sort of sometimes forget that Derek Wiegand is a Canadian, and a damn good Canadian as well. And I will say, you know, that interior of the defensive line, he is a ratio changer for this football club. And, you know, that interior of the defensive line with Mike Rose and Derek Wiegand, as you say, is very, very good. You know, he started all 13 games for the team this season, you know, 31 tackles, you know, three tackles for a loss, you know, a couple of sacks, a forced fumble, a very, very solid season for Derek Wiegand. And yeah, kudos. The voters got this one right.
They absolutely did. 31 tackles, three for a loss, two sacks, a forced fumble for Derek Wiegand. So solid as the most outstanding Canadian nominee, which takes us to our final nominee of the episode and, well, of the nomination process. And that's most outstanding rookie. Dartmouth, Nova Scotia product, Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund, played every game this season, seven starts at defensive end. And it's not a story of success at the beginning of the season. Yeah. It's a story of hard work, getting better, a lot of work with Corey Mace, and really improving throughout the entire season. So the most outstanding rookie nominee is obviously Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund.
I love the story how, you know, he was a high draft pick, third overall by the Calgary Stampeders in 2020. And, you know, obviously we had the COVID season, so he couldn't play. So he comes to camp this year. You know, he thinks, hey, I'm a high draft pick. I'm a pretty good player.
It's a young team.
It's a young team. I'm gonna come. And he wasn't very good. And he even admits he wasn't very good. He had a bull rush. That's all he had. That was his only move. And Dave Dickens is telling me it wasn't even that good of a bull rush. so this is a guy that Corey Mace worked with closely. Dave Dickinson was telling me that, you know, he basically did a lot of it on his own time, too. It was outside of practice because he wanted to get better. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the most improved player on the team. It probably is Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund because, you know, from day one of training camp where you're thinking, okay, did the Stamps make a mistake with their, you know, third overall pick in 2020? Well, no, they obviously didn't make a mistake because he developed into a fine football player and, you know, was sort of a spare part early and became an integral part later on in the season. So, yeah, I think this is, you know, and who else would you put into the Rookie of the Year category? Again, there's only so many players that are eligible because if you have NFL experience, you're not. You know, I think Cody Grace had a very, very nice season for the Stampeders. You could put him into the mix, but he's a punter, okay?
I get it.
So, you know.
He gets an honorable mention for me.
Punting is not tough unless you're Markeith Ambles, but that's another story altogether. So bottom line is Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund, very, very good choice.
So to recap, Kadeem Carey, the nominee for Most Outstanding Player, Mike Rose, Most Outstanding Defensive Player, Sean McEwen, Most Outstanding Offensive Lineman, Rene Paredes, Most Outstanding Special Teams Player, Derek Wiegand, the Most Outstanding Canadian, and Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund as the Most Outstanding Rookie. Some solid nominees there for the Calgary Stampeders. If you had to pick one guy that gets nominated for the West, Jock, who is it?
Whew, that is a really good question. It's not going to be Kadeem Carey, sadly.
Nope.
It's probably not going to be Mike Rose. I would say the Western nominee, maybe Rene Paredes.
Yeah.
You know, Devontae Dedmon is obviously going to win the award overall.
Yeah, from the Red Bull.
He has a chance to be the most outstanding special teams player in the West, I think. I think Sean McEwen has a chance as the outstanding offensive lineman because, you know, the Stamps O-line was pretty good, allowing the second fewest sacks in the Canadian Football League this season. Other than that, I think, those would be my two. But I would say Rene probably the best chance to get out of the West.
Yep. I would agree with you on that one. So that takes us into our final week of the season, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I don't want to call it a meaningless game because there are things that both the Stamps and Bombers want to do when they play this game on Saturday evening. But in terms of standings and in terms of anybody changing where they're starting their playoff date, it's meaningless because nothing's going to change on the West side. So the question is always rest versus rust. What are we going to see? The Stamps don't have to worry about really rest versus rust because they're not getting a week off like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are. They're going to go in, and my guess is you're going to see your starters who are healthy, and you're going to see a sprinkling in of some of the players that haven't played that much this season. And I don't think, they say they want to win, and I'm sure they do want to win, but I don't think the scoreboard is going to change how they deploy their players in situations on Saturday.
The key word I think you mentioned, Dave, was healthy. And if you have any little nick, even if it's a minor nick, you don't play in this game because there's no sense. You use the time to get healthy, be 100% for that Western semifinal, November the 28th against the Saskatchewan Roughriders in Mosaic Stadium. So a guy like, Jamar Wall, who's been very, very good, dealing with a little bit of an elbow injury, maybe he shouldn't play this weekend. Mike Rose, who's in the running for, your most outstanding defensive player, he got a little bit of a ding. I don't know if I would play Mike Rose in this game. I'm not even sure I would play Reggie Bagleton. As much as he's only played one game this season, he's going through concussion protocol. Well, why would you risk that individual?
Well, and he's clearly shown he doesn't need to play any games because seven catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah. So he didn't need any games to come in and light it up.
I can understand why coach would want to play him because he's only played the one game, but why risk it? Yeah. I'd rather have a healthy Reggie Bagleton for the game against the Riders. So those are the little nicks and bruises that I think you got to be concerned about. And especially when you're dealing with a possible head injury with Reggie Bagleton, why risk it? So as much as Stampeder fans would love to see him at home at McMahon Stadium, I probably wouldn't play him. I would play Bo Levi Mitchell. I wouldn't play him a lot.
Nope.
I would probably play him a quarter and a half and then let Jake take over. I wonder if they'll even dress three quarterbacks for this game. Does Michael O'Connor get in for a bit? I don't know.
Well, you should stake a hat to that claim, Jock. Hey, you should stake a hat to that claim.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I like that.
Because, of course, Joxel owes me a hat eating. it should be a good game this Saturday. Obviously, the Stamps will be trying to win that game. It'll just be maybe a little bit of a different-looking roster. So that game is 5 o'clock on Saturday. That means the pregame show goes at 3:30. That'll be Jock with Greg and Mark. I'll be making a small appearance, but, of course, I'm down on the sidelines and hopefully not freezing my butt off for this game. Supposed to be decent weather Saturday, at least on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning when we're recording this. It's looking for about a -2 and maybe a little bit of snow. We know that'll fall off as the game
gets. It's Calgary. It's late November. What do you expect?
I'm ready for it. I got my feet warmers and my hand warmers, buddy.
Good for you.
I'm going to be toasty warm down there, so it should be a good one. And then I guess that's it for the sidelines for me for the rest of the regular season, or I guess for the rest of the season, because the Stamps won't be returning to McMahon to play any games. Hopefully they have, after this one, hopefully they have three more left, Jock. It'd be nice to see. The Stampeder Podcast brought to you by Valentine Volvo and Volvo Fine Cars Royal Oak. Next week, we are back with your season review. And we'll talk everything that the Calgary Stampeders did this season, from the good to the bad to the ugly to the downright ugly, which we might have seen at the beginning of the season, but a nice run throughout the season for the Calgary Stampeders. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave McIver. He's Jock Wilson. We'll see you in a week.